Glad you're listening in here on the Ideas Net today as we switch gears a little bit and talk with you about Wisconsin foods in Wisconsin's grocery stores. A couple of guests involved in a project or initiative, I guess we could call it, called Thrive. Greg Lawless, he was with us just a couple weeks ago, director of the agricultural initiative called Thrive. He's a senior outreach specialist with UW Extension. Greg, good to have you back.
Thank you, Larry.
And also with us today, Lois Fetterman. Lois is an agricultural marketing consultant in the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. She's also working on the Thrive initiative. Lois, good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
Let's talk about this Thrive, the background for it, how it got going, and what are we really trying to accomplish here? Let's start with you, Greg.
Well, okay. Thrive's a nonprofit that's based here in Madison, and it serves eight counties, Dane and the surrounding seven counties. And it started about 3 years ago. It's one of numerous in the state organizations that have broken the state up into regions to sort of focus on economic development from a regional perspective, regional collaboration. Milwaukee 7 started just before us. You might have heard of the New North. Mm-hmm. So we're one of those. We're just starting our second three-year strategic plan. But in the first 3 years, one of the things we focused on was the agriculture sector. The organization decided up front that we would give some attention to three sectors of the economy where we felt this part of the state was really strong: agriculture, healthcare, and biotechnology. In the course of that, they hired me as their director of ag initiatives, and I can explain, why we came to this grocers buy local project. But I will just say a little broader. Thrive's a lot broader than the ag sector and this grocery sector. We have a new 3-year plan that we're just starting now, and just to give you that context,
sure.
We're going to continue our work with those three sectors: ag, healthcare, and high tech. But we're also having some additional initiatives that are a little broader to affect the entire business community and economy. And one is a capital growth initiative where we're trying to figure out ways and to get more money into the communities faster to the places and businesses that need it. So that's one of our efforts that we're sure will affect a lot more than those three sectors. Another is just a policy initiative. There's a lot of things that a lot of policy questions that are best addressed at a regional level. Mm-hmm. If you can get the collaboration, if you can get people to the table, there's a lot of policies that affect more than just the state or more than just the local. And finally, promotion and collaboration. Thrive puts a lot of resources. We just got a nice $100,000 grant from the Department of Commerce to help us do marketing, to market the region to the rest of the country, and to promote collaboration among these eight counties. So that's the big picture of Thrive.
Yeah. And Lois, obviously makes sense for the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection to be involved in this.
Absolutely. I'm the director of the Something Special from Wisconsin Trademark Marketing Program, Larry. And the program is 26 years old this year, starting July 1st. And it exists to assist and help Wisconsin-based agricultural companies and families that have a product that they want to put out in the market. And for many years, it's been focused on helping more small companies such as mom-and-pop to mid-sized companies, people that really maybe didn't have the skills or the resources financially to go out and do marketing, help themselves get promotion in, whether it be a trade show or understand how to enter into the world of grocers and restaurants. So that's something that our program leads the way for Wisconsin companies that have that interest. And we've had some involvement in the last couple of years. In 2007 and 2008, we did some workshops around the state, 7 to be exact, to help teach producers how to work with grocery store buyers. And that was a collaboration supported with the Wisconsin Grocers Association, and Brandon Scholes was of tremendous help with that. And this was just a natural progression for us then to move into this. From that workshop and relationship with Brandon, we jointly built a website called Grocers Buy Local, which the association took on the effort to go out and survey all of the grocers in the state of Wisconsin to find out, number one, were they offering local foods in their grocery stores currently? And if not, were they interested in doing so? And what grocery categories were they currently doing that in? And the website also offers the contact information, the address of the grocers and so on, to help break down that barrier so a producer can feel comfortable contacting them. So moving into now this effort with Thrive, using the Something Special from Wisconsin logo as their primary tool for brand recognition of Wisconsin products, was just a natural progression for us.
Well, you know, you'd think, you know, just off the top of your head, if you didn't think too long about it, that it'd be kind of a no-brainer for a Wisconsin grocer to use Wisconsin products. But there are some barriers associated with it, I expect. Greg, we'll start. Go to you first.
Well, you know, I think that groceries have been selling Wisconsin products for a long time.
Sure.
I think part of the problem is just that, you know, you walk into a grocery store, it's kind of overwhelming. I mean, you're basically bombarded with brands and products, and, you know, we're often very busy. So the Wisconsin products that are in there isn't always so obvious. You know, if you walk down the ketchup mustard aisle, do you know off the top of your head which two or three mustards in that traditional grocery store actually from Wisconsin versus you know, New Jersey or mm-hmm. Ohio or wherever. So part of it is just getting it, making it more clear to consumers who are very busy, and making it easier for growers to tell that, to get that little message across that here's the Wisconsin product. Getting Wisconsin products into stores that aren't into stores is a separate challenge. But I think that the grocers that we're talking with are really very open to trying new products. They're happy to sell whatever sells, I think.
Sure.
So we're trying to make it easier for them to see what is out there that is from Wisconsin, that is not in their store, but maybe they'd like to try.
And, you know, I haven't given the number yet, so let me give that number for people to join in with a question or comment as we move along here talking about Wisconsin foods and Wisconsin grocery stores. The number, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. We'd love to hear from you. You may be a producer, for example, and have some questions, or consumers certainly welcome to join in with their questions as well. Tim in Kenosha with us. Let's give Tim a chance here. Tim, thank you for calling. Hi.
Thank you very much for the program, Larry.
Sure.
I'm president of the Wisconsin Honey Producers, and I use Something Special from Wisconsin on my labels. I don't personally happen to deal directly with grocery stores. I'm more into the farmer's market. But we do have a lot of producers in the state that that do deal with grocery stores. And just looking on the shelves, it seems to me like we have a lot of Wisconsin products on the shelves. What I was going to speak directly to, though, is a new bill, the Senate Bill 419, that's dealing with certified honey in Wisconsin. There's a lot of honey that comes in under packers' labels that may or may not be adulterated with other sweeteners. And, just wanted to mention that's coming up. That'll be passed in the future, and we're really looking forward to Wisconsin certified honey, and hopefully that'll be on our grocery shelves. And hopefully, people will be looking for that.
That's a good buy. Lois, a comment from you on this?
I agree with Tim as far as, you know, the understanding of the full contents of the ingredients in a product and what their origin is and where they're coming from is critical. And I think that's why we're seeing the response that we've been seeing, especially in the last 6 months, to our efforts with this project with the grocery stores and the signage that we've developed that can be placed on the grocery store rail or danglers that can hang down. People are really looking for that information, and it's also beneficial when the companies are utilizing the sticker to put on their product that verifies that they're part of the Something Special from Wisconsin program. At least it does point the product out to the consumer in the sea of products on the shelf and gives them a fighting chance to find that Wisconsin product.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's been frustrating, Larry, is to look at products, particularly cereal products, that has honey predominantly in the name of the product, and then you look at the ingredients label, and honey isn't even mentioned. It may be in the flavoring section, but that's been very frustrating. They're trading on a product name for, you know, wholesomeness, and it really isn't part of the product that's prominent. So that's been frustrating in terms of labeling.
And at this moment, we have to take a quick break. I appreciate your call, Tim, and it's something, this whole business about labeling is something we'll definitely continue to talk about as we visit with our two guests here on the Ideas Network. Stay with us. Well, something special from Wisconsin is really are the food products, the wonderful foods that we grow here in the state. And we're talking about the efforts to make consumers aware that there are some great Wisconsin foods in our Wisconsin grocery stores, and to make grocery store owners and distributors the knowledge that there's some great foods out there that we can put in those stores and maybe they haven't put in there yet. Greg Lawless is the director of the ag initiative called Thrive. He's a senior outreach specialist with UW Extension. Lois Fetterman, ag marketing consultant with the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, also working on this Thrive initiative. And inviting your questions at 800-642-1234 or by email at talk@wpr.org. And some callers been waiting a while, so let's just go to Milwaukee and talk with Lou next. Lou, hello. Thank you for calling.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
I was thinking about this effort to get more Wisconsin products in the Wisconsin grocery stores.
Yeah.
An idea I have is to package, say, maybe 12 products at an attractive price and to sell or distribute these packages at events like football games, basketball games, big gatherings around mm-hmm. the state. And then create demand on the consumer side mm-hmm. to get these products in the store. That would enhance this effort even more.
Well, thanks for calling, Lou. Let's hear from Lois. Lois, comment.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for your call. I can't agree with you more on that. One of the things that we have seen a great response from is when consumers are demanding or requesting from their grocers to carry certain products. So the more we can get consumers to speak with their dollars and their commitment verbally to products and to the particular grocery stores, the more products I think that they'll bring in.
What are you doing once these products are in the grocery stores? I've got in front of me, which we can't show here, but you've got lots of branding possibilities, and talk maybe a little bit about that.
Right. Well, the Something Special from Wisconsin program has a trademarked logo. And in 2009, we developed what we call point of sale material that you can see in the grocery stores. We have an item that's called a shelf dangler, which hangs down and is oval shape and shows the logo. We also have a shelf slider, which is a small rectangular item that mirrors where you see the pricing and the barcodes that you'll see on the shelves. And we also have larger signage that the grocery stores can actually use to write on. Many times you'll see a large bin of whether it might be fruit, cantaloupe, watermelons, or things in the summertime, and they'll have a larger sign on there where they'll write where it's coming from and the price. And we have those items as well with the Something Special branded logo on it that the grocers can use. And those are actually dry erase, so they can continue to reuse those. So we're trying to bring much more brand recognition instantly, and the background of these items is a very bright red, so it definitely stands out when you're walking down the grocery store aisle.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you again, Lou, for calling. I appreciate it. I want to give Matt a chance to join in. Matt from Madison, thank you for calling. Hi.
Good afternoon. Fascinating topic. In our family, we typically always try to buy Wisconsin, and the two things that we usually wind up buying are honey and maple syrup. And it would be great to have more products in the local grocery stores that are grown locally. We live in Lodi, and I drive past the Lodi Canning Company every day taking my kids to school, and for 2 months they're out there canning peas and corn, but I don't see anything on any of the local store shelves that say, you know, packaged in Lodi or grown in Wisconsin. And I was actually thinking a good way to help this is at the state level, maybe provide a tax incentive to local retailers to purchase things made in Wisconsin. I know I personally would love to be able to do it. We buy our meat from the local meat market, and we buy our, you know, the cows and pigs that we butcher from the local farmers, and the price comes out being usually the same or cheaper, and it tastes better. But I just don't understand why we have to buy Del Monte peas that are shipped in from four states away when they're canning them right across the street.
All right, well, that's Greg Lawless. Let's turn to you first here.
Well, I buy a lot of frozen vegetables. I have four kids, and it's a fast way to put together a decent, you know, meal. And it has frustrated me, too, because I actually think that probably a lot of those carrots and peas and sweet corn that are in the stores under a variety of logos and labels were grown here, packaged here, maybe an hour away, 2 hours away. But we don't know that because the system and the companies that do this haven't really targeted this kind of local, this interest in the Wisconsin product. I actually talked with the general manager of the frozen food plant in Reedsburg, and I said, couldn't you guys just do a line of bags? Just try. Give it a try. Put Wisconsin on it. I'll help you design the logo if you want. And he sent it to the idea to his people in Manitowoc, and I haven't heard back. But I think whenever there's a new consumer movement, some people are faster than others to tap into that. And I think someday we will see a bag of frozen carrots that are very clearly from Wisconsin, and whether that's from the existing plants that we have, Seneca, and help me with some names, but or whether some new companies will sprout up. There's an effort in Iowa County. It's called Driftless Foods, and right now they're looking at establishing a mid-scale, small-scale plant that can chop vegetables, quick freeze dry them, and get them into a state where they can go to sell to grocery stores, also to institutions, schools. So I think the demand is there, and I think the wiser companies are seeing it, and whether that's a grocery store or a processor or farm.
I agree, and I think based on our Thrive initiative, it's drawn a lot of attention that regionally these efforts can really be successful. And to expound a little bit on the comment that Greg made about the effort out in Iowa County, the Driftless Foods group, their intent is really to build these models, focusing on other types of food processing as well, and help replicate that around the state and have them establish more in regions in the state itself as well, so that it's not, our state is quite a large state, and it's definitely a long drive from one end to the other.
Yeah.
And so to get the product to these, that's one of the other issues is the supply chain, is really having the volume that we need produced here in the state. Having farmers and producers that are growing these items at a larger level, because when you start looking into this, it's just totally amazing the volume of food that goes through the grocery stores, that goes through the restaurants, the institutions, as Greg was referring to. So there's some tremendous opportunity here for everyone that plays a part in this food chain, not only producers, but also processors and distributors and grocers and restaurants.
Yeah.
And can I make one more suggestion?
Sure.
Just growing up on a farm, I always remember driving by a lot of the dairies, and you'd see Dean Foods or Morning Glory or AMPI. And when you'd go into the grocery store, you'd see on your milk, Morning Glory, Dean Foods. So it really gives the look. When I'm driving by, I think, I'm sort of proud that this farmer is here. And when I go to the store, that may have been the milk that his cow has produced. So maybe working with some of the labeling to when you drive by a farm that's growing sweet corn, maybe seeing a logo there, and you go to the store, you see the same logo, say, that could be the same corn that's growing down the road. It really gives a local feel to the foods that are being produced.
Oh, interesting comments. Greg, we'll go back to you first.
Well, yeah, I agree. And I guess I want to, the people that work in those plants that he mentioned are part of this picture too. The employees that are that are in those food processing plants, and I think a few years back maybe we didn't cherish those jobs as much as we do now. I think every job counts and matters and is of value. It's obvious after this past year, and so there's an awful lot of people that are employed in the food processing sector and in the farm production side. And so we've started to kind of pencil out some numbers of what is the impact. If we have any kind of success here, what will be the impact? Because I work for an economic development group. We have the business community to answer to, and we're trying to say why this can be a good thing for the economy. And one thing that we're looking at is some statistics that we found from a place called the Business Alliance for Local Living Economies. And what they found, and we're trying to verify these numbers, but that when you purchase any products locally versus non-local, 70 cents out of the dollar are retained in the local economy from the local products versus 40 cents, 70 cents versus 40 cents. And when you start to add those up to the scale of, you know, we spend, each of our households in our region here spends $3,500 a year on groceries on average.
Mm-hmm.
We've got nearly a million people, 400,000 households in this 8-county region. That's $1.4 billion spent in grocery stores. So if you do the math a little bit, and if you take that 70 cents versus 40 cents, you know, and take it to the two extremes, what's the difference? It's $420 million difference. No, and then you could start talking just on the micro level, company by company. You know, the jobs in each of these places. I could run down the list: Schulzberg Creamery, Westby Creamery, Shep's Ice Cream. You know, did you know Flanagan Sauerkraut is made here in Wisconsin? You know, companies large and small, somewhere between, you know, just under 100 employees are in Kenosha County making Coop's mustard and other products. You know, if you add all these up, it's significant. We don't want to oversell it. As one, you know, Steve Deller's an economist at UW-Madison, and he's careful, you know, not to oversell this. Even a $400 million difference is not going to change rural Wisconsin, you know. It's a piece of the puzzle. Each one of these jobs counts, and it's a piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. Thank you very much for calling, Matt. Appreciate your call. And Bill in Bayfield, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Larry. afternoon to your guests, and I appreciate the good work they're doing. I'd just like to give an example. I shop in Ashland, Wisconsin, and I look at the tomatoes there, and they're from Mexico, and they're pale. And yet 75 miles away in Superior, they grow a hydroponic tomato year-round, real nice-looking tomato. They hire people with disabilities. And yet I can't get them. So one day I asked the clerk at the store, I said, you know, they're growing tomatoes over in Superior. And she says, well, they don't ship, and walked away. And this is ironic because during the break there was a piece on up here about unemployment in Superior. And I just think it's a shame. You know, when my neighbor has a job, I benefit too.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Lois, a comment from you on Bill's thoughts here.
Yes. Hi, Bill. Thanks for your example. You've been able to hit the nail on the head, basically, for one of our largest challenges, and that is distribution, getting the product from the producer to the end result so the consumer can purchase the product at that point. And it's definitely, in our efforts at the Department of Ag, definitely a focus. If we don't build and grow the entire food chain, all the efforts that we're doing to try to promote Wisconsin products in the grocery stores is for naught, because if we can't get it to the stores, the consumer can't purchase it. So definitely something that's on our radar screen. We, as part of our efforts with Thrive, we've forged some relationships with a couple of primary distributors here in the state. They have been, one is L&L Foods here in Verona, another Awesome Produce up in the Randolph area. And they've been tremendous partners, and that's what it's going to take, is for all of us to continue to put the piece of the puzzle together and everyone to understand the economies of scale and what it's going to take to bring those products to our local stores.
Okay, work hard.
All right, thanks
very much. We appreciate your support.
Appreciate it very much. And I wonder about, well, let's take a call from Scott in Madison next. Scott, hello. Thank you for calling.
Good afternoon. How is everyone?
Great.
My question, I guess more of a comment directed straight at Lois. I'm familiar with the Allison Dairyland program and how they're intimately connected with the Something Special from Wisconsin. Wondering what else is being done on the education side as far as promoting Wisconsin products. And I can take my comments off here.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Scott. Thanks for your comments or your question. For the viewers that are, or listeners that aren't aware, the Allison Dairyland program is Wisconsin Agriculture Marketing Ambassador. She travels over 40,000 miles every year promoting Wisconsin, all aspects of Wisconsin agriculture, and not only promoting but also educating, whether it be at fairs or festivals or in the fourth grade classroom every year, wherever she's there, June Dairy Month and so on. And she is our primary person to promote Wisconsin agriculture and educate and answer questions and spread the word. Greg referred earlier to the diversity of the products that we have, which I think is possibly one of our best-kept secrets in the state, is the types of products that the state grows and offers right here and nationally and internationally. Otherwise, we have websites such as SaveItWisconsin.com and all the efforts that we're doing through Wisconsin with Something Special from Wisconsin. Outreach marketing, recently we've started to be able to have some funding to do radio spots, more newspaper ads, and that type of thing is going to continue. Any suggestions that anybody has or ideas that they have, we're always open to listening to that.
And Greg, why don't you talk a little bit more about your website?
Well, there has been a website for the program for a long time up on the Department of Ag's website, a single page. And we felt that, the web's got so much potential out there for communicating, and we asked if they'd give it a shot at kind of creating a site off the State Department of Ag grid and, on a private site. So we set that up last year. It's called somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com. Something special, WI.com also works. And Lois, you bought several
right.
URLs. So if you go to that website, I think that's where we're kind of being most aggressive in terms of communicating everything, trying to explain, it will improve over time. But it is the place that you can go and find all the members who sell in grocery stores. We'll increasingly be listing and promoting those grocery stores that are participating. So that's been one of our main vehicles. And also, just today we were talking about, getting a Facebook page going very soon. Most likely we'll do some Twittering. And so we're trying to use the social media. We've also created, I think it's up to 9 YouTube videos already,
mm-hmm.
6 of which are kind of profiling some of these companies, Sassy Cow, Rushing Waters, Sugar River. Who else have we highlighted? Working on one from Bucky Badger. So there's a few others I'm forgetting, but we'll be doing more throughout the year because I think part of what consumers want is to know the faces behind these products. They talk about brand loyalty, but part of that, especially with this sort of thing, is it's getting the loyalty to the company, to the people behind the product. So we think we can get some of that done via the website and via video, but also through sampling in the grocery stores. We're working with 4 grocery stores this year. This is really a pilot effort. We're rolling this out slowly, measuring our success in 4 stores, Metcalf Century in Madison, Mayville Piggly Wiggly in Dodge County, Daniel's Century in Janesville, and Miller & Sons in Verona. Those 4 stores have been very generous and very trusting of us, and to the point where they've actually let us go into their stores and measure the volume of sales that they had in these members' products last year, and then this year we're going to see the impact.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually, I think, calculated $1.7 million worth of products in these 4 stores in 2009. Our goal is to increase that significantly, and having never done this before, we're not exactly sure what to predict, but we'll know at the end of the year.
We have an email from Erica who wonders, what's the difference between Savor Wisconsin, Something Special from Wisconsin, and Thrive?
Good question, Erica. Excuse me. SavorWisconsin.com is a website that was founded 5 years ago in a joint effort between UW Extension, the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, and the Wisconsin Apple Growers Association. And the website is a very comprehensive listing, probably the best that we have, of Wisconsin producers. Each producer can go in and identify, put their own listing on. It's free of charge. It takes them about 15, 20 minutes, depending on how much information they want to upload. And that's it. There's nothing else that's involved with that. There's no business support networking, no use of the trademark, Something Special logo, any of that. Also, events can post themselves, like the Great Wisconsin Cranberry Festival up in Warrens every year. And it also is the most comprehensive listing of Wisconsin farmers markets. We have, I believe it, that Wisconsin is number 2 for the number of farmers markets in the state and the nation. So it's a great website for resources if you're looking to find what's in your area. It's very, very searchable. Something Special from Wisconsin then takes it a step further from the standpoint of benefiting the producer themselves, the member.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fee-based program, very affordable, because the intent is to help them, not to hinder them by a high fee. But through that, they receive a lot of information that they may possibly not receive, such as when grants are available to be applied for, special events that might be happening that benefit them, any things that are happening with rules and regulations that might affect them in some way, shape, or form. And then in addition to that, the same type of things that we're speaking about today, where we're out there networking, promoting, trying to open doors with partners and associations to help promote their products and increase their businesses. And I'll let Greg speak to Thrive.
Thrive?
Well, as I said, Thrive's a nonprofit economic development group. This is just one of our projects. You know, we have a staff of, six or seven people and all kinds of networks and partners across the region. So this is just one of our projects.
And someone also emailed in, let's see, I'm having trouble reading it here at the moment, wondering about why cranberries are grown here and then they're sent for processing to China and then they're brought back here for sale. That was the gist of that question.
Well, you know, the more I look at this, the more complex it becomes. You know, I have a database of food processors in the state. I've been going over it for a year and a half. I'm just constantly going to websites, going Googling and trying to find out about these companies. And it's just a very complex global food system. And I as to why that is with cranberries, I'm sure there's economic reasons. I've been really wanting to find a cranberry juice that is made in Wisconsin to give to my kids. And I haven't been able to find it. Maybe it exists, but I haven't been able to find it. But part of what we're trying to do is do the background homework so that, you know, the products that do get this sign, this something special sign, that we can verify to the extent that our resources allow that these products are made here. The rules are 50% of the product needs to be grown in Wisconsin or processed here. And, you know, some might wish that that threshold be even higher, but at least it's a threshold. And we're doing the background research to find out, you know, which products meet that. So that when you walk through the store, it's easier. You know, you can buzz through and you can, you know, if you're looking for dessert, for instance, what comes to mind of what desserts in a grocery store, if you wanted to support your economy and support, you know, agriculture and so on, what would you buy? And it's not so easy. You know, and who has the time to do that research? But I will plug Louis Specialty Foods in Argyle as a fantastic, you know, 1 to 2 employees. And it's a fantastic little product. And we need more desserts from Wisconsin.
And we will certainly need some more conversation from the both of you. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll look for some updates from you as time goes on. Greg Lawless and Lois Fetterman, our guest. Lois with the Wisconsin Department of Ag. She's Ag Marketing Consultant. Greg Lawless is the Outreach Specialist with UW Extension and directs the project called Thrive. Stay with us. Lots in store here on the Ideas Network.